Well, hello to everyone who's joined me today for our next devotion in the book of Psalms. Today we'll be looking at Psalm chapter 28, which I'll read for us now from the NIV version before we go through it. Psalm 28 says, "To you I call, O Lord my rock. Do not turn a deaf ear to me. For if you remain silent, I shall be like those who have gone down to the pit. Hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help, as I lift up my hands towards your most holy place. Do not drag me away with the wicked, with those who do evil, who speak cordially with their neighbors, but harbor malice in their hearts. Repay them for their deeds and for their evil works. Repay them for what their hands have done, and bring back upon them what they deserve. Since they show no regard for the works of the Lord and what his hands have done, he will tear them down and never build them up again. Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. The Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever." If we follow the planned roster for these devotions, yesterday you will have looked at Psalm chapter 5. And you may notice that the psalm we are looking at today has a very similar structure. And no doubt many of the same lessons and applications can be taken from both. We can see at the start that this is a psalm which has been attributed to David. And from the context, it seems that he is facing some form of danger or oppression from wicked people who seek to harm him. This psalm is David's prayer to the Lord for deliverance and help in this situation. For our application and encouragement today, I want us to use the psalm to remind us of great qualities and characteristics of the Lord our God. Because as we read the psalm, we can see in David's prayer for help, he bases his request on these characteristics of God. Because David knows who God is and how God acts, he can confidently turn to the Lord in a time of trouble and see the Lord's mercy. And so, as David did, we are going to use this to remind us of the Lord's character. The first quality I want us to see is the Lord as the sustainer of life. David opens his prayer by appealing to the Lord to hear and respond to his request, or else he faces being like one who goes down to the pit. This is a reference to being in the very lowest of low points, even to death itself. And as David says, if the Lord had been silent to his needs and paid no attention to his state, he would be without life. We can be reminded that the Lord's daily guidance, his hand in our lives, his answers to our needs, both spoken and unmentioned, are the very reason that we are safe and living today and have not been totally overtaken or destroyed by our own sinfulness and the sin of those around us. But as David faces the possibility of danger from the wicked, it's only a half comfort to know that he can call on the Lord for protection if there is no consequence for those who are acting sinfully against him. And so he asks the Lord to show another one of his characteristics, that is to be the God of justice. Twice in verse 4, David asks the Lord to repay the wicked for what they have done, for their evil work. It's a challenging prayer to pray, and one which many have grappled over as they read the Psalms and the writers pray for the destruction and condemnation of the wicked, and yet need to balance that against another characteristic of God, which is that of forgiveness and grace and mercy. However, this passage is a reminder that the Lord does not let sin go unnoticed and unpunished. And as the God of justice, he will ensure that the price for sin is paid. That may be in earthly consequences and downfall in this life, Well, it may be when Christ returns to judge all and condemn those who have sinned to the final separation from God, the sustainer of life. Of course, for those who accept and trust in Christ's death on the cross as paying that price in their place, there is grace and mercy instead. But as David did in this passage, in the face of evil, we can lean on the Lord to carry out justice and know that he will act in accordance with his character as the God of justice. This is such a comfort as we face the sins of the world today, from the violence we see in the country to the corruption of politicians and those in authority, or any one of the many challenges we face in society. As we are hurt, endangered, and affected by these sins, we can cry out to the Lord and appeal to him to show his justice and to prevent the spread of evil, because that is the Lord's work and the Lord's correct response to sin. Romans 12 verse 19 reminds us, "Do not take revenge, my friends, but to leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord." There is a place and a space for God's anger to be felt and shown to those who have done evil. I mentioned some of the sins and evils that we might experience in life today. But if we take a careful look at this psalm, we will see that David gives a more general reason as to why he considers his attackers wicked and why God will pass judgment on them. In verse 5, David's accusation is that they show no regard for the works of the Lord and what his hands have done. Whilst we might notice and be directly affected by some of the more specific sins of those around us, the primary failing of the wicked is that they have not acknowledged the Lord for who he is. Out of this, I think we can draw a third characteristic of God, that he is the God who wants to be glorified. That is why he created the world, and that is why he created us. The Westminster Catechism, which was written in the 17th century as a guiding set of instructions in the Christian faith, includes the well-known statement that the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Romans chapter 1 reminds us that God's judgment on the world is because people neither glorified him as God or gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Sin flows out of a lack of acknowledgement of the greatness and majesty of an all-powerful Creator God to whom we owe our very reason for existing on this earth. David makes sure that he doesn't fall into the same fault as those he is praying for relief from in a wonderful song of praise in the last four verses of the psalm. We see a great arc working across this psalm, from David's initial desperate state, pleading to the Lord to hear his prayer, to the great thanks and glory he gives to the Lord at the end. He says in verse 6, "The Lord has heard my cry for mercy." And we are reminded that the Lord is a God who listens. He is not too distant, too busy, disinterested, or unconcerned about us to be deaf to our cries for help. He loves us and he wants us to come to him with our struggles and our sorrow and suffering and to find our relief in him. So often we think our troubles are too small to bring to the Lord, or we think so highly of ourselves that we believe we can fix them on our own rather than to ask for the Lord's help. But that is not a reflection of who God is, who is open for us to bring our requests before him. In the final verses, David brings out many characteristics of the Lord, using words such as strength, shield, trust, and fortress. These words carry a sense of absolute dependency and firmness. God is one who is dependable. As much as we might depend on the strength of someone to help carry a heavy object, or depend on a shield in battle to protect us from arrows, or a fortress to protect us from attack, it's little help if we seek the Lord in times of trouble, only to find him absent or uncertain how he will act. But David makes sure to acknowledge that God can be leant on and relied upon because he is true. He is consistent in showing these characteristics we've highlighted today. Finally, David closes the psalm by asking the Lord to be a shepherd to carry his people forever. Here we see God, who is our guide. A picture of a shepherd is often used in scripture and doesn't need much more explanation, but just reminds us again of a shepherd's care, protection, and presence with his sheep. So as we go through life facing danger and facing harm from the wicked, we can appeal to the Lord for his help, as David did here, because we know his character. He sustains our life. He is just. He is glorified. He hears us, and he is our dependable guide through life. Thank you.